My wife and I are fighting again this week. That's why she's not with me. So, no, I'm joking. She caught this weird eye infection a couple days ago, my wife, who's never sick. And she went into the doctor and got antibiotics. And it's cleared up. It's looking great. But they said for her to stay low for a couple days. So that's why she's not with me. But Di and I go to a different Berean church every weekend and preach and train leaders and motivate people in the Berean Fellowship to get back to the business of sharing the gospel with unchurched, unsaved people. We exist as a Berean Fellowship because we want to see lost people come to faith alone in Christ alone, be discipled in their faith, so more churches will spread and be planted throughout this planet. And so we, as a fellowship, kind of lost our way in doing that. And so now we're getting back on track. So I go around and preach, and so you get to sleep. You know, what amazes me, though, is Dan is gone, and what he told me this week blew me away about you guys. I don't know if you know, but he installed these weird sensors on the bottom of every chair. And when you guys sit down, it supernaturally, man, it's just amazing technology these days, but it supernaturally downloads every thought that you guys have had for the last week and uploads it to the cloud. And then Dan downloads it and he emailed me your thought life this week. You guys are sick. Now, can you imagine if that were true? Man, one of the things that I discovered is, like, I love getting in my pickup this morning after spending the night at Nate and Ashley's, and I started my pickup and the engine started. Pretty cool deal. I am so glad that God created the people that created engines. But I'm really glad that God created people that didn't just create engines. He also created people who created transmissions. Because if I only had, like, my engine in my pickup, ying, ying, I could push on the gas pedal all I wanted and I wouldn't get anywhere. Because the engine itself can't transfer its power to the wheels of my pickup to get anywhere without the transmission. One of the things I discovered early on in my Christian life is that many times I would study and I would know a lot about Scripture and the right thing to do, but I didn't always get it transmitted to the everyday life. Like, a lot of times I knew I was supposed to be kind to my wife, but then she'd just torque me off and I would just get this toot in my voice. I'm sure that never happens here, right? In Sterling, Colorado, at Sterling Berean. But in the most of life, we have this tendency as believers in Jesus, and I'm going to assume most of you are believers here today, is that we know the right thing, but somehow the power of Jesus doesn't always get translated when we want to eat the entire dozen donuts, and we go ahead and do it, and then afterwards feel like, whoops. Or we turn on the TV, and we're like, the Holy Spirit's saying, don't watch that. But we do anyway. And one of the realities, if the Berean Fellowship is going to be a fellowship that is, gets back to the business of seeing lost people come to faith alone in Christ alone, is it's going to take healthy churches who are filled with people who understand at a very basic heart level that their thought life matters. And that you learn how to control what goes on in your head. Because the simple reality is God, in his sovereign plan, has given you and me the responsibility, listen, the responsibility of learning to control what we think about. In fact, on your outline this morning, right? You had one on your, they should be on your chair. Look with me at Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. You and I need to think about what we think about. And you and I need to grow up out of our childish thinking syndrome and grow to think like Christ. So let's pray, dive into the deep end. Howdy, God, do a work here this morning. I pray in your authority and your holy, holy name, Jesus, that you would not let anybody in this room check out. That you would not let that old Christian who's sitting here saying, yeah, I know what he's going to preach about, and just check out. Or that young person who's here today that thinks about other stuff than you, that God, you would do a miracle in this room and confront us with the reality that we need to grow up in you and that our lives can be literally transformed and knowing what your way and will in our life when we learn to control what goes on in our head. So God, do a work through your word like only you can. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Our thoughts are influenced primarily by three entities. Number one on your outline, sorry for the short little deal because it's two words. Our thoughts are influenced, number one, by our sinful selves. Our sinful selves. Our dear brother read from Romans 8 earlier. Let's look at Romans 8, 5 through 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. When you and I get saved, our sinful self doesn't magically disappear. It's still there. My 90-year-old dad, who's still preaching this morning, two different sermons at two different nursing homes, was just telling me a month ago, man, son, I still have my sinful self in me, and I have to learn to consider it dead every day. You and I, notice the scripture, need to think or control our thinking by the Holy Spirit, not our sinful nature, because our sinful nature mind leads to death. We'll talk about this verse a little later. But our thoughts are influenced, number one, by our sinful self. Secondly, Satan's society. Satan's society. We live in the world where God, in his unique sovereignty, which we don't fully get, has allowed Satan to be the god of this age. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. There is a residual effect that occurs into us, not only from our sinful self messed up stinking thinking, but also living in a world where Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, and it begins to affect us too, who are believers. Thirdly, our thoughts are influenced by, praise God, our Savior. Our Savior. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 2:16, and again, the setting for this passage is the Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthians that they cannot figure out and know the living God apart from the Holy Spirit indwelling them and teaching them. And so he says, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? He's asking a rhetorical question. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Somehow when you and I get saved and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us, God does this unique switch in our mind where we can begin to understand the things of God, where we begin to think and have the ability to think rightly and clearly and have the ability to think about, now is that thought coming from Satan's society? Or is that thought coming from my sinful nature? Or is that thought coming from my Savior? Have you ever done a thought journal? I did once. Every hour I would stop and write down what I had been thinking about for the last hour. It is a very healthy, albeit depressing at some hours, exercise to do. You see, again, why is the church in America so weak? It's because many people are not transmitting the power of the gospel into their everyday life by changing the way they think and remembering I have the mind of Christ. Let's look at some other verses that help delineate and teach us about how we have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What is going on in your head? What are you thinking about? Are you learning and discerning because of the mind of Christ in you? Where is this thought coming from? Is this thought bringing glory to you, Jesus? Or is it from Satan or myself? Let's return to Romans 8, 5 through 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. Let me tell you, there's some of you have death in your marriage relationships because the sinful nature is controlling your head. And in your head, in your mind, you are thinking critically and negatively of your spouse all the time. Some of you teenagers who are here, there is death in your relationship with your parental units because your thinking is one of criticism instead of honoring your mother and father. Some of you, there is a death in yourself. You are depressed and discouraged and despondent because you go to work and your mind is filled with negativity and critical spirit thinking about your workmates. And you are no longer a missionary at your job. You are the resident critic. Some of you, even today, I would venture to say, you are here today and we just sang wonderful songs about the wonderful God of the universe, but your heart is far from Him. You mouthed words, but your heart is far from God because of your stinking thinking, which has allowed death into your intimacy with your Heavenly Father. And maybe, just maybe, God got you here this morning and you're like sitting here like, dude, I can't wait till Dan gets back. The spitting cowboy preacher comes and just lights it up. And I'm like, this is uncomfortable. But maybe God loves you so much that He got you here to hear some spitting cowboy preacher talk about what's going on in your head because God wants you to encounter Him in His holiness right now. So you accept His grace in right now so that you begin to learn to allow Jesus to change your thinking. If the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Look at your life. Is there life and peace? Are you the person God created you to be? Because your mind is set on things above. Look with me in the next passage, Colossians 3, 1 through 2. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think about things down here on earth. Folks, I don't know if you know it, but I forget that this world's not my permanent home. We're so just passing through. This is such a short time in the big picture of eternity. And yet so often we are consumed with things and think about things here on earth. Some of the most miserable people I know are Christians who have forgot that they're going to heaven and that this earth time is really short. Some of the most critical, depressed, angry people are Christians who are just consumed with things here on earth. You know, and they just see negative and all, this world's going to hell and it's just bad and it's just horrible and their depends are pinching up their bottom and they're just, and everything is horrible. I'm like, dude, Jesus came. This earth's not our home. You don't have to be a miserable, whining jerk. You can grow up. And you know what? I've seen old people grow up. Like, seriously, it's the most awesome thing. When I see old people think, you know what? I'm going to start taking captive every thought to make it obedience to my Savior. And I'm going to quit. I've lapsed into some really whacked out wrong thinking that comes not from my Savior, but from my own sinful nature and Satan's society. And it's messing me up. Philippians 4:8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, at the bottom of your first page there, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are worthy of praise. Oh, what's going on in your mind, folks? So, 7 keys to letting Christ control your thoughts on your back. I'm going to really hurry through these because I think from the deal, I have like 2 minutes, right? Before this service is supposed to end. No? 15? Dude, I love you. I don't know if you're lying to me, but... Okay. So I can relax a little bit. Okay, great. So it ends at noon. Oh, I thought it ended at quarter till, and I am like... Okay, 7 keys to letting Christ control your thoughts. These are things that have helped me. Number one on your outline. Remember, God knows what you're thinking. Like, He so knows what you're thinking. Now, that scares me. Like, really scares me at times, because I know my thought life. It can be really wretched and bad. But it helps me to learn to say, oh, God, that thought was totally from Satan's society and from my sinful nature. I do not want to think like, this week I've done this. Like, seriously. I don't know about you, but I can be like, I do a 4 or 5 mile walk every day, and it's a prayer walk, and I pray. But I can be praying and worshiping God, and God is awesome. And then I'm in a nanosecond, I go to thinking these wicked, crazy thoughts. Does anybody else do this, or am I just the chief of sinners? Right? It's amazing. Like, we're like connecting. God, you are awesome, perfect. And then we're just thinking these whacked out, wicked things. But it helps me to be like, oh, God, I'm really grateful I am in Jesus right now and that my destiny is set because He paid for all my past, present, and future sin. And I'm sinning against You, God, by my thought life right now. And I don't want to be thinking these thoughts. It helps us. Keys unlock locks, right? Some of us are locked up in growing out of sinful self-living to be the people Christ created us to be because we forget that God knows what we're thinking. Secondly, you have to be in the Word in prayer. You have to memorize God's Word and meditate on it. Do you memorize Scripture? It is a vital thing. Oh, I forgot. That's just for the Awana kids, right? We adults, right? No. Like, for instance, my verses, I try to memorize a different verse every month. My verses for January were Psalm 19, 12 through 14. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Do not let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to You, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Do you know how many times God has used those verses to help me not have stinking thinking? I love cows. I love to eat them. I love to rope them. I just love cows. Cows are an amazing animal. Have you ever watched a cow? Well, this year it's pretty dry, but have you ever watched like an old mama cow eat? You know, they have teeth right here on their top, right? You know, you just watch a cow and they just go along and they stick that old long tongue out and kind of wriggling, jerk and grab and they chew a little bit and swallow and then they go get a little more and go get a little more. Then what's a cow do? They go lay down. And they erp that stuff back up that they've already eaten and re-chew it into a finer deal and swallow it again. That verse I just quoted you, Psalm 19, written by David. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to You. Do you know the Hebrew word for meditation is literally chew the cud? David, when he was writing Psalm 19, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, looks at some cow, or maybe a goat, I don't know, some ruminant animal, looks at that animal and watches them chew the cud and thinks, you know what, God, I need to take your word in, but then I need to bring it back up and chew on it. Go over it again. Go over it again. I need to chew. Meditation means that we take what we've memorized and bring it back to mind. Okay? We chew the cud. Now, if you've just heard that gas painter called me a cow, okay, you're not listening. You're supposed to laugh at that. Thank you, Jake. I think you laughed. I think you got it. But, you, of course, all these elders are like, we're going to get so many angry emails, this new president. We have to be in the Word in prayer, and I believe we need to memorize God's Word and meditate on it. Thirdly, another key to letting Christ control your thoughts is we need to live in authentic Christian community. I know this church works at having people in authentic Christian community in small groups. It is imperative. You can't learn to control what goes on in your head if you're not surrounded by believers who you are growing with, who you can share and serve with. Fourthly, you need to control the media or it will control you. Folks, our thought life isn't made better by watching some of this junk on TV or movies or Redbook or Facebook or all that stuff. Now, I'm not some whacked out legalist and going to call you next week and let's bring our TVs and I'll burn them in the parking lot out here. But I am appalled and ashamed by the glorious blood-bought Church of the Most High God people and what they watch on some of this junk on TV. And how can you control your thought life when you're watching some of this junk? And I believe that as people called to be separate, not from society or unsaved people, but in our thought life and behavior, we need to be careful what we put into our heads through media. And if social media, Facebook or Snapchat, whatever your deal is, becomes more important than I watch some TV, I have learned that my thought life is greatly influenced by my media choices. And we as believers need to be careful. Fifthly, another key to letting Christ control your thoughts is learn to biblically deal with conflict. I'll come back some in a year or so and teach a sermon on how to biblically deal with conflict. But if you're in unholy, unhealthy conflict, your mind is always messed up. It just has all kinds of dissonance in it. And you're always on edge and there's always drama in your life and you don't have the mind of Christ. Number six, you got to replace your thoughts. Don't repress them. Like right now, please don't think of a red apple. I said, don't think about a red apple, right? If you're human and you're here today, which I'm assuming most of you are human, right? I think in Sterling, most of you are human beings. Again, man, some of you are a tough crowd. So I'm going to assume most of you are humans. If you are a human, you cannot not think. You just have, well, maybe if you're a teenage boy, but no, you cannot not think. That's why we have to learn to replace our thoughts, not repress them. How many of us say, I'm not going to think about that neighbor who did me that dirty deed 12 years ago in 3 days and 29 minutes. So I'm not going to think. How many of us have all these situations in our life, right? Where we want to dwell and think about what they did wrong, or that image we saw on TV or whatever, or that woman not appropriately dressed walking, or that person who has the nice house, and we don't. We cannot repress our thoughts. You can't say, I'm not going to think about that, because we inevitably do. You have to replace those thoughts. That's why, back to number two, we have to memorize and meditate on God's word. Replace, don't repress your thoughts. Number seven, I have found that physical exercise is key for me. I know it might be hard for you to guess this, but I'm a wound a little tight. Can you tell that? I'm just, yeah. And God uses that, but I also can get pretty whacked out, stinking thinking, little bit crazy if I don't walk or exercise every day. And I've had some health things that, if you notice, my left side, I had a head injury. My left side doesn't work so good, but so I can't really do a lot, but I do enough to make myself sweat every day. I have to walk every day, because if I don't, there's somehow this direct correlation between our physicality and our spirituality. And too many Christians, quite honestly, are completely out of shape physically, and it's affecting them spiritually and emotionally, honestly. And so a lot of times our thinking can become clearer when we learn to live a balanced life with Jesus so that we can have time to physically exercise. Is there a bonus on your outline? Does it say bonus? All right. Isaiah 26:3. Some of you have this memorized. I love this verse. Every Christian ought to have Isaiah 26:3 memorized. You will keep in perfect peace all those whose minds are stayed on you. Oh, I love that verse. You will keep in perfect peace all those whose minds are fixed on you or stayed on you. I love that verse. So what's going on in your head today? How are you going to respond to God speaking to you today? I would encourage you, don't be afraid to say, Father, I want my thinking to be pleasing to you. I know that there are areas of my thinking that really mess me and my family and my brothers and sisters in Christ up. So Jesus, I want to understand what having your mind really means. So I would encourage you to do that, because if the Berean Fellowship is going to be a fellowship that sees more and more churches planted so lost people know Jesus and become authentic disciples of Jesus, it takes us being mature in Christ. And a lot of maturity in Christ is learning to control what goes on in our head. Thank you so much for letting me come. Diane, my precious wife, was so bummed she couldn't make it. But she gives her love. In fact, I pretty much guarantee you, unless she forgot about the time change, she's on her knees praying for me right now and praying for you. Because she's a mighty woman of prayer. So Di and I just love the Berean Fellowship, and we love this church, and we pray for you, and may God bless you as you continue to be. You guys, you're on mission here, okay? You are missionaries here in Sterling, Colorado. View yourself as a missionary. You don't have a job. You are a missionary who does a job. You have to train your mind to think.